Hello, everyone. Time for another telecast. So this week, I have been making some video content, shall we say. I hate the word content, but that's what I created. I made a couple of videos and I put them on my YouTube channel, and I'm trying out a few things. One of the videos was a kind of overview of some of the new things that are landing in Ubuntu 20.04, just highlighting the theme and a couple of other bits and bobs. And what I did was I made some notes before I made the video, and I kept those notes in a standard notes document, which I then printed out. Side note, I don't think standard notes supports printing. I had to copy and paste it into gedit and then print from there. I'll have to figure out why it doesn't do printing. Maybe it's a plugin or something, I don't know. Anyway, I printed out my notes and then I used my trusty ThinkPad X220 attached to another machine via an HDMI capture card, mirrored the display, and then started recording in OBS on the beefy machine. So I wasn't streaming this live, I was just recording as I noodled around in Ubuntu. And I found this really straightforward. Just having the notes sellotaped to my lava lamp behind the laptop. It's all very professional. So that I could look over the top of the screen and see my notes. I didn't have the webcam on, so no one was seeing my eye line, or anything like that. I just had the desktop. I was just mooching around, showing new stuff. And that video seemed to do quite well. I gave it a very low effort thumbnail, which was just done in LibreOffice. Take a screenshot of the desktop, put that in a LibreOffice document presentation, put the big text over the top, and then rotate it like 35 degrees to the side or something. And then that's it. Screenshot that, put that in there, YouTube. That's my thumbnail. I seem to do all right. Obviously, everyone these days is putting their face on stuff to promote it. Ugh, it's horrible. Nobody needs to see my face on YouTube. So I made that one, and then I made another one the next day. The first one I put out as a premiere, which means it's like a live stream that you've pre-recorded, for those who don't know. So a live stream is where, you are seeing what the person is doing within a minute or so, like latency. With a premiere, you pre-record the whole thing, upload the whole thing, set a time when it's going to go out, but nobody can skip forward through the video. You're all watching it live, as live together, like a pre-recorded TV program that goes out live. And it works actually rather well, because one of the things about doing it live is trying to keep an eye on the chat while you're trying to demo something. I find quite hard. I mean, it's if you look at someone playing a video game and watch them do a Twitch live chat and how they get distracted by the chat or they ignore the chat. Some people, there's a couple of Twitch streamers I've noticed who are able to keep an eye on the chat and keep on top of it while they're playing. But I find that quite difficult. Maybe it's something that comes with practice. Anyway, to avoid that problem, I did it as a premiere. Scheduled it to go out at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. And I mentioned it to Martin, and he said, "Oh, great, I can be there." So we could both sit in the chat, and we watched it at the same time as everyone else watched it, and we were answering questions in the chat. So I was able to actually type answers rather than say it verbally, which works quite well. Might do more of those because they work, and it's quite low effort to make them. Because one of the problems with streaming is it's all live, and if my internet goes rubbish or the streaming encoding screws up in some kind of way, then that kind of ruins your live stream. Whereas if you pre-record it, you get to watch the whole video before you upload it and then treat it like a live stream. Thing is, though, on YouTube, some people really don't like premieres. They just don't like them. I think they feel they're like fake live streams, which is exactly what they are. I don't know why that is. Strange. Anyway, I also uploaded those two videos to this decentralized video platform called Library, or LBRY. I think it's supposed to be Library. I've heard the CEO on his videos, promotional videos, call it Library, but That's a generic word. So, if you say it verbally, often I'll say LBRY to someone when I mean library. Anyway, I knew library existed. I watch Gartner, the Linux gamer, and he talks up library quite a lot because he's, he doesn't like these centralized services like Google and YouTube, and so he likes to put his content in another place that gives him the option, if things go wrong with YouTube or Google, he has an exit strategy. He could just direct all his audience to go to this other place. And I've looked at some of these things before and they were a bit ropey, but actually, library has improved quite a bit over the last 2 years or so, or maybe a year, since I last looked at it. And I noticed there was an outdated snap in the store. So I thought, well, let's get on that. So I asked the person who was no longer maintaining it if they could transfer it to me, and I built a working snap. So there's now a library desktop snap in the store, and I got that working. And I messaged the library community manager and said, hey, just so you know, there's now an up-to-date snap, and they're going to update their README. So that's good. So that exposes more people. Like, it doesn't really matter how you get it, whether you get the app image or the deb or the Flatpak or the snap. It doesn't really matter. The thing about library is that you have a means to consume content that other people are creating and also create your own content and share it. And you can reward other people. Now, this is where it gets a bit tricky. Library is a bit strange. It's not like YouTube where you get shown adverts. It's, I'm going to use this word, blockchain. Which really did put me off initially. It's magic internet beans, not real money, not tangible. It's a little number on the screen where you can send, 32-bit wide GUIDs or whatever they are back and forth, and you've all these transaction IDs and stuff. As you probably are aware, I don't know anything about cryptocurrency and blockchain, but I know the minimum amount in order to get by. And so, library. It's a bit different from YouTube. It's got there's a bunch of YouTubers who have copied their content into Library and will gate their content from YouTube into Library. And one of the goals that Library have for 2020 is to have people do it the other way around and put their content in Library first and then gate it to YouTube, which is an interesting model. And I think they want to reward creators who do that and put it in Library first, which, makes sense. If you're trying to compete with the incumbent, you need to have some advantage, and putting the content there first is one way to do that. But if you've not looked at Library, it's basically like YouTube, but without the central algorithm and the authority behind YouTube. So it's kind of like if YouTube is Windows, then Library is Linux, kind of. So it kind of appeals to the Linux crowd. It appeals to the refuseniks who don't like, the corporate culture and the dominance of these large corporations. There's a lot of people, if you look at the actual content on Library, there's a lot of people talking about crypto and blockchain and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of content about that. I think partly because they're bought into that kind of stuff, and so they talk it up, much like, an investor is trying to talk up something that they've invested in, trying to get everyone else to buy into it because that will help your investment appreciate, right? So there's a lot of that. But I think also because there are some people who have written up, who've made content on YouTube about blockchain and crypto stuff, and they've been demonetized, or their content is being pushed down by the algorithm, or whatever it might be. It's just not appealing to the masses, so they put it on Library, where there's already people who are clearly interested in blockchainy kind of things because they're on Library. So there's a lot of that. Also, the fact that you can earn coins for doing stuff like watching more videos and uploading content, and you can use some of this coin. It's called LBC. You can give that coin to other people. So, for example, the guy, when I told the community manager at Library that I'd uploaded a snap to the store, he threw 500 LBC at me. And I was like, oh, great, thanks. I don't know what to do with this. So I gave some of it away to somebody who helped test the snap. So thank you, Diddle Dan. I threw some of the LBC his way. And I've also tipped some content creators as well, because that's the way Library works. There is a lot of content that's re-uploaded from somewhere else, and some of it is of dodgy provenance. So it's a means for people to upload content they didn't create in order to generate, magic internet beans for themselves, which is not great. But there's a bit of that. There's also a lot of content which is, in inverted commas, news that the, in inverted commas, mainstream media won't cover. Yeah, okay. There's quite a few people talking about the platform itself. So there's a lot of like library tutorials on library. It's a bit meta, and talking about how to optimize library and when library put out their, state of the nation, here's the plans for 2020. There's a whole bunch of videos that come out analyzing the plans for, much like on YouTube, you have people talking about YouTube. There's a lot of people who talk about the failings of YouTube on YouTube. So it's very similar to that. And there's a lot of Linux nerds on there. You've got the likes of Chris Ware and the Linux Gamer and Mr. Lunduke and a bunch of others who are quite popular. If you look at the rankings, those kind of people are near the top. They're within the top, 100, some of them in the top 10 of users on Library, which shows you just how small the market is on Library. If someone like Gartner, the Linux Gamer, is near the top, then, what does that say about all the other content on Library? That's not a slight on Gartner. It's just indicative of what there is on Library. One thing that is interesting about Library is you could just block people and then you just don't see their videos show up. So it's a bit nicer than the old control that you have on YouTube, where you kind of say, I don't want to see this anymore, or that's not interesting to me. And maybe the algorithm will show it to you, or where you watch a video and the YouTube algorithm goes, oh, you like that? Oh, okay, here's 1,000 more videos about that thing. Library doesn't really do that. It's got a recommended bar, but generally you see a chronological view of new stuff. You can actually subscribe to tags. So you can like subscribe to the Linux tag, and then you'll see anything that's tagged Linux, which is quite a nice way of doing it, rather than just having a single linear subscription. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Library. And my YouTube videos that I've put on Library, I'm going to continue doing that. I'll put them on YouTube and I'll put them on Library as well. So if people prefer to watch them there, that's fine. Although Joe Collins made a video linked to mine, and now I suddenly have over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is quite a milestone for me, my rubbish little channel that's mostly me making fun of Mycroft. And most of the videos on my channel are me reporting bugs. They're mostly unlisted videos that you will never see that are linked from bug reports. That's the vast majority of what my channel is. But now I've started making actual videos. People are subscribing. Who would have thought it? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on all of this nonsense, and also test out the Library Snap. Yes, it is an Electron app, but it also has a daemon that runs in the background that does all the synchronization and manages the sharing of content and all that kind of stuff. So it's not just a browser window that points to a website. It does actually have a daemon underneath that does all the video download, upload stuff. But I'd be interested to know how you get on with it, because I've tested it and I've been using it daily and it works all right for me. Wow, that was a long one. Is that the longest one so far? It's close. Thanks for listening. See you all soon.